This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Welcome to Women of Grace Live today, everyone. It's great to be with you as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. We love being with you, spending this time with you, having an opportunity to come together as the mystical body of Christ on earth through this electronic means. We always like to remind you that we're available to you out here in the world by contacting us at this toll-free number. Here's the number for you to use. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's for you to use if you're in North America. Again, if you're in North America, that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. We've got Ryan Penny on the phones, and he is eager to take your call. And he's also eager to take your call if you call us on this number. And this is the number to use if you're outside of North America. Country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, country code 1-205-271-2985. If you prefer to use social media, well, we've got a way for you to do that too. Just get on out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you can use the chat feature there to get your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement up to us right here at EWTN. Jeff Burson, who is our producer, is also our social media manager, and he'll go out there and gather together your questions, and he'll put them up on the board, and we'll be able to move forward together. Hope you're experiencing the abundant love of our Lord today. You know, he does love you, and he does want you for you to know that love. He wants for you to walk into that love. He wants for you to share that love with others, and we want to help you to do that too. So I invite you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of wonderful opportunities for you right there at Women of Grace. That's WOMENOOF. GRACE. Can you spell today, Johnette? I don't think so. Womenofgrace.com. And we invite you to check out our New Age blog written by our staff journalist, Sue Brinkman, also our director of communications. And she's with us today. She's going to be with us in just a moment here. That New Age blog offers you a search engine and an opportunity to get your questions to Sue so that she can answer them for you. Nothing quite like it on the planet. We invite you to take advantage of that opportunity. And I really do want to encourage you to see all of the places where we are going to be. And so you go to our event section, which is right there on the homepage, and it will tell you where we're going to be. We've got a very, very, very active summer coming up. I am so excited about it. We're going to be in several locations with our Women of Grace retreats, and we are eager for you to join us. We're going to be in Lafayette, Louisiana. We're going to be in Malvern, Pennsylvania. We're going to be in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we're so excited to be with all of the good women who are in those areas. So we want you to join us there. All of the information, the times, the locations are available for you to check out, as well as giving you the opportunity to register right online there. We don't want you to wait too long, because these events book up. They book up very, very quickly, and we don't want you left standing to the side. We want you to be there. Incorporated into these events is our event for our young women of grace, and we've got fabulous speakers, fabulous topics for our young ladies, and we want for you to bring your daughters, granddaughters, nieces, your students, any young lady that you know that would benefit by coming together with other young women and learning more, not only about the faith, which is key and very important, most important, but also very important and part of that most importantness to learn who they are as the daughters of the Most High God. I'll tell you, the girls have a great time, very interactive. They make friends. They make good friends. And it's just a beautiful day. So all of that is out there for you to view and peruse on our website, womenofgrace.com. So get out there and take a look at all of that. Well, today's Wednesday, and that means that we do have Sue Brinkman with us. We call it Wacky Wednesday, and we talk about very strange things that are going on. And some of these strange things are very, very harmful. Some of these strange things are very abusive towards individuals because they control them in some way. And we received a call yesterday that we're going to play for you in just a moment or two that came to us from a dear lady who is very concerned, very, very concerned about her daughter and her grandson who are tied up in a cult called the 12 Tribes of Israel. And we're going to be talking about that cult. We're going to be talking about cults in general and taking a look at that. And, you know, we want to make you aware of things. Not everything that sounds good is good. We should know that by now, right? But we need to know more about these false ideologies that present themselves in such a way that they look alluring and they look as though they hold the answer and the key to our happiness and our fulfillment. And we need to take a look at them and find out why they are false and how it is that they can cause us great distress and cause us great harm. And when it comes to a cult, I think that what you would want to remember are that there are three features of something that is a cult. Now, not occult, O-C-C-U-L-T, but two words, a cult, C-U-L-T. Number one, they're exclusive. They purport the idea that they are the only ones that have the truth. Everyone else is wrong. And if you leave the group, your salvation is in danger, or at least your relationship with God will seriously suffer. Two, they're secretive. They have certain teachings that are not available to outsiders, or these teachings are presented to only certain members who have gone through various stages of initiation. And there oftentimes are vows of confidentiality that are associated with the knowledge that is going to be imparted. It's Gnostic and it's esoteric. And those would be the two features that in some way we've talked about thus far. And thirdly, they're very authoritarian. There's usually a human leader, a charismatic type of figure. Now here I'm not talking about charismatic in the sense of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but somebody who has a personality that attracts people to them. It has a human leader, and this human leader expects two things from those who come to follow. And he expects absolute, or she expects absolute loyalty, total loyalty, and unquestioned obedience. Right? And if you appear to be disobedient, or it's deemed that you are disobedient, you are marginalized, you are sidelined, and you have retribution. Doesn't mean that you're not necessarily going to be thrown out. It means, however, that you are going to be severely reprimanded and punished. And so, you know, the features that I've just mentioned are key. Now, they do change in emphasis over time, and it's important to know that. It's important to know that. It's very, very important to be very savvy and aware when new religious movements seem to be cropping up and people begin to become enamored with them. And you will notice certain kind of defining factors in individuals who have begun to fall victim to a cult. Sue Brinkman is going to be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking in particular about the one that our caller mentioned yesterday. We're going to hear that call again, and we're going to ask for prayer for this dear woman and her family, as well as for all of those who have family members that are in a cult. And that's going to be part of our topic today, maybe all of our topic. I don't know. That depends upon you and your calls. You can call us at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-39. 986 toll free for you right here in North America. We're going to be right back, inviting you to stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everyone. It's great to have you with us today on this Wacky Wednesday. Wacky Wednesday means that we've got Sue Brinkman with us, and we're talking about some of the things that are extraordinary, peculiar, a little zany, sometimes very loony out there in the culture of our day. Today, in light of the call that we're going to hear, this might well be Woeful Wednesday. However, because this is a very, very sad call that we received right at the end of the program yesterday, and we didn't really have an opportunity to speak with our caller at length. And so Jeff and I thought it would be a good idea to bring this call up again right at the beginning of our show today and to have Sue respond to it. And it is a sad call. We're inviting you to call us, 2-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're here for you today with Sue Brinkman. We'll talk about any topic that you want to talk about, but we do reserve this day to talk about some of the things that we see out there that cause a great deal of confusion and oftentimes are very, do not make sense whatsoever, and yet people follow after them. And Sue, here you are today. Welcome, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me back.
We love to have you on these Wednesdays. You know, I think that it's very important for us to be aware. And, you know, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We don't want anybody perishing, losing their faith, potentially damaging their union with Christ, and fearfully even losing their soul because they didn't have the knowledge. And so this day is the day that we set aside to bring knowledge, insight, perspective to some of these things going on. And you heard me set this up. Set this call up. I really want to go to this call now. I want you to hear it, and I want you to respond, and let's talk about calls. Let's talk about this call, and then we'll get to our phone lines and to our messages out there on social media. So we invite you to go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. You can communicate with us that way, too. So let's go to the call, Jeff, and let's respond.
I have a beautiful daughter and a grandson, but they are living in a communal cult-like thing called the 12 Tribes of Israel.
Oh, my goodness.
She is not allowed to contact me.
Uh-huh.
She is not allowed to. They think the Catholic Church is evil, and my adorable little grandson is there, and I'm not allowed to see. I finally got a picture of him. So I know how beautiful he is.
Oh, sweetheart.
But I'm just so sad that she's in this horrible cult.
Yes.
And she doesn't even want to call her mother. And we've always been so close, so it doesn't seem possible.
Yes.
But I just love her and my grandson so much, and I just would give anything to be able to be with them.
Yes.
And to know that they just be with him.
Yes.
So I am in contact with the father.
Okay,
and
darling.
We are trying to figure it out, but that's the story.
Oh, golly. You know, that's one of those calls that are so hard to hear. And the moment was really an excruciating moment. And we were right at the end of the program there. So I barely had an opportunity to respond to her, Sue. And, you know, I thought I'd air it again. I just want to ask all of you, please, to pray for this mom. She's so distraught. And you can understand why. And, you know, it's just... it's a horrible reality when people wander off to fables and they find themselves in these situations and they cannot really sometimes extricate themselves from them easily. So talk with us, Sue, about, you know, I mentioned these three features of a cult: exclusive, secretive, and usually an authoritarian figure. Talk with us about this.
Yeah, cults are really something that people need to understand more clearly. We tend to think that those who get involved in cults are somehow, you know, maybe crazy or a little off the mark or something. And you know what, Jeanette, that is not true. When you start to research this, you find that really it's not their personality as much as where they're at in life that determines whether or not you're going to get swept into a cult. So that can really happen to anybody here. And many of these people here, you know, were middle class who are in these cults. They have money. They're educated. Some of them have higher degrees, you know, master's degrees, PhDs. They get swept in the cults because of it has something to do with where they're at in their life is what they think. These are the experts now on cults and people who get involved in it. They're vulnerable at certain times in their life. They've lost their job. They've lost a significant relationship in their life. Perhaps one of their dreams fell apart and they become disillusioned. These are the kind of people that can be easily swept up into a cult. When somebody mm-hmm. comes along and says to them, hey, we've got the answer, we can offer you a new life, a new sense of belonging. I mean, this is very attractive to people when they're down and out. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get pulled into cults. So that's one thing to really important, I think, to remember, is that just because someone's in a cult doesn't mean they're a crazy person or a bad person. There's just a person at a certain point in their life where they have been made vulnerable by something that's going on in their life, and they've been able to sink that lure and reel them into a cult. That's what happens.
Well, you know, there was a period of time when the whole concept of a cult was very much in the consciousness and the minds of the day and time. And I'm thinking specifically about the late 90s, you know, through the 90s and into the early 2000s. This was on the radar screen. We were hearing a lot about this in the media. We were hearing a lot about this, on talk shows. We were hearing, we were being given signs of cults. People were being swept up in these cults. And then we stopped hearing a whole lot about it. And I think that the general consensus of opinion was that, you know, at least it was my opinion, that these things must have begun to fall away. But then we get a call like this and we realize, no, it's just not on the radar today. I mean, we've got this laissez-faire attitude about everything due to relativism. And perhaps that's the reason. But we cannot assume that the reality of a cult no longer exists, or the threat of a cult no longer exists. And I did a little bit of research on this in light of the discussion today. And our caller says, she won't even keep in touch with me. It's not the fault of the daughter. One of the defining criteria for a cult is that leaving the cult is not an option. The whole idea is to separate you from family, and to get out, as I mentioned, is often not a possibility. There's not a freedom to walk out the door. There's a lot of intimidation that's used, and there can be a lot of punishment that can be used to keep people in the cult. And the leadership presents itself as being all-knowing. You know, they claim to be, sent by God. They've got this rule that God's given to them, and it's the only way. And those kinds of notions really do cause a type of insecurity in the mind and the heart of the person to stay there. And there's a lot of brainwashing techniques that go on as well.
Oh, absolutely. Transinduction techniques are one of them. They use the criticism is another one. They have the people stand up and then they're criticized by everybody. So that they beat them down, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They take away their self-esteem, which mm-hmm. helps them, of course, to make them a little bit more dependent on the authority figure in that cult. And in the case of the 12 tribes, that would be a man named Gene Spriggs. He's the guy who sets himself up at the top. He calls himself Yoneg, which is a Hebrew word. The 12 tribes is a communal religious movement, supposedly Christian, but it's actually more Messianic Judaism, which is the blending of Christianity and Judaism that evolved during the 60s and 70s. You know, a lot of cults started during that time, Jonathan. You're right. People think they just went away, but they didn't. They're still going on out there. And this is one of them. The 12 tribes is one of them. They've been around for quite a while. They believe that all denominations are fallen. They refuse to align themselves with any denomination or movement. And they believe that in order for the Messiah to return, the church has to go back to the way it was in the Acts of the Apostles. So part of this restoration for this group, the 12 tribes, is the return to observing the Sabbath, maintaining Mosaic law, including their dietary law, and observing the Jewish feasts. But they also emulate that lifestyle with some bizarre practices that had nothing to do with, the Acts of the Apostles. They believe that youngsters have to be caned or beaten several times a day to keep them from sin. They're forced to spend their mornings at prayer and the whole rest of the day at work. And I mean hard work. There is story after story after story of this group being shut down in different countries, the UK, Germany, France, because of violations of child labor laws. One member that I read about said that he was once beaten so badly he couldn't get out of bed for 2 weeks. This is when he was a child. Another one said he was beaten 20 to 30 times a day. So a lot of cases have gone on where government authorities have gone into these groups, these communities, and taken the children out of them. Because of their being abused at that. And there's only believed to be about 3,000 members, but they're spread out across, there's 50 communities in about 9 countries is what they assume now, although they're very secretive. Very, very secretive group. They tend to hide themselves away. This guy, Gene Spriggs, who started it back in 1972, he was a former high school teacher and a guidance counselor. And he started it through a Bible study in his home. And he would get – this was during the heyday, you know, of the Jesus movement. Where, you know, they thought Jesus was a countercultural hero. I mean, this is just how they presented him in that time. And so they would get a lot of people coming to their house, a lot of youth, you know, out of the local schools, and some of them were runaways, some of them were drug addicts, so the couple would invite them to move in and live with them. And their home got bigger and bigger and bigger, and so just to support themselves, they started these things called Yellow Delis. And that's where the members would go. It was like a restaurant, and it's very, you know, crafty looking, nice little delis. They're very nice looking on you would never know it if you were sitting in a Yellow Deli, that this was run by the 12 tribes. And this is what they do. They set up their restaurant. They have things around that says, we serve the fruit of the spirit. Why not ask, you know? And the people who, of course, are working there are members of the group. And that's how they begin to do their recruiting. They also have common sense markets. So they have businesses out there that they run to keep themselves going. And that's how they pull people in. Now Spriggs decided at one point, this was after a couple parents of children who got involved, got authorities involved in shutting down the 12 tribes. It kind of chased them out of the mainstream, and they had to hide away for a while. But they survived. And he decided that he was destined to restore the ancient 12 tribes of Israel. That's how it gets its name. And that he was to produce an army of 144,000 male virgins who were going to prepare the way for Christ's second coming. So that's when he renamed that group to 12 tribes. And they're very racist. They're very misogynistic. They believe women are – they're not allowed to use birth control. They have to atone for Eve's original sin by giving birth without painkillers. Of course, children have to be beaten. Blacks are slaves. And he drafted rules about everything tightly regulated, which what you were saying about that authoritarian. Absolutely, everything is very regulated, even to the length that they're allowed to have their fingernails in this group. So people are very much pulled into it. And that inspires fear. So once you get involved in it, even if you have some doubts, they beat you down and beat you down and beat you down, either physically, as in the case of children, or mentally and emotionally. Until you become so frightened and fearful, you'll do whatever they tell you just to sort of save your own life.
Yeah.
But and they become brainwashed, and they really believe what they're seeing and what they're hearing from these people, and that this man is a kind of God, and this is how he presents himself. You know, that he's been specially chosen by God, and that his words are coming straight from God. And so I feel for this woman because her dear family member is truly in a bad way, and we need to pray. We need to pray that for this woman's sake that her child can be set free, but also for everyone who's involved in that, in this particular 12 tribes, that they can be set free. Some have gotten free, but it's just very, very sad that what goes on in this and others. There's others like that out there, but there are people who help them, who can help them get out, and they can help the family of this woman. They can help this woman to be able to deal with what's going on, to teach her how to deal with combating any kind of mind control cult. Stephen Hassan is the one that I think of the most. He's a leading expert in this. He was once a member of a cult himself. He's a psychologist. He's just very highly rated. He's at freedomofmind.com if anybody wants to look him up. He's got terrific books. I've got one of them. And it tells you how to go about getting them out, but also how for you to deal with what's going on in your family. Because this is, it just destroys families. It destroys relationships.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to call us with your comments, your questions, your insights, your inspirations here on Women of Grace Live. And we also invite you to use our social media option. Just go on out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, and you'll see me waving to you today. I'm also encouraging you to get those questions questions in so that we can get to them today. Very important topic that we're talking about. And as you're mentioning there, Sue, it's important to know that when you, should you be able to extricate your family member, be aware of the fact that your family member is not going to come back to you in the way that they were when they left, because the influence of that group has really done a number on them in terms of mind control and brainwashing. And so they're going to come back slightly different. They're going to come back a little depleted, almost, and by that I mean almost as if their personality has been emptied out of them, because that is exactly what happens when you're talking about this tearing down. It's a tearing down and a rebuilding, but not a rebuilding in a positive sense. It's a rebuilding up into the vision of what the cult leader believes that person should be. And in that case, it's someone really very subservient to what he sees as his goals and his ambitions. So it's a very difficult topic that we're talking about today, but we thought that it was very important, especially in light of our caller. Her name was Elaine, in light of the question that she asked of us yesterday and the prayer that was needed. So I do want to at least close out this portion of the program, this particular aspect of it, with a prayer for Elaine. Sue. So let's just come together, everybody, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let's lift up Elaine. Let's lift up her daughter. Let's lift up her grandson. Let's lift up Elaine's daughter's husband, her son-in-law. Let's lift all of these people up to you. And Father God, we just present these people to your throne today. You understand and you see completely what is going on. You know how many of these individuals that are involved in these cults are being held there against their will. As a matter of fact, we know that they're free will in some way has been usurped by the techniques and the psychological manipulation that they have experienced. And so we ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, there would be a setting aright that would take place. I don't even know how to pray for what that setting aright would be, but you know, Father God, and I pray that there would be a release. I would pray that you would set the captives free. Whatever it takes, I pray that it would be done. I pray specifically for Elaine, for her daughter, for her grandson, for Elaine's daughter's husband. I ask, Lord, that you would bring happy resolution to this issue in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. We're going to be right back. Stay with us, everybody.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. It's Wacky Wednesday, and we have Sue Brinkman with us. We are eager to hear from you with any questions that you have about the wacky that you see going on in your midst. We did begin our program today by talking about cults, and we're happy to continue that conversation as long as you would like for us to do so. But we'll take your calls as well. And let me give you the number that you can use. Use this number. It's toll free for you here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Again, 833-288-EWTN. Also want to suggest that you use social media options too. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat feature there. You can see me waving to you right now. Very, very happy to have that opportunity to be with you out there in social media. You can text your question. Text it to EWTN at 55000. Text EWTN to 55000. We're available to you in so very many ways. And so Mary in Staten Island, New York, is on the EWTN app, and she's concerned how enamored people are with Game of Thrones, and she thinks we need to pray for them. What do you say about the Game of Thrones?
Oh, absolutely. I don't recommend that at all for Catholics, and I know people will probably want to throw things at me when they hear me say that, but, you know, the show is full of gratuitous sex, nudity, and violence. It's very controversial for that reason. It's just had some scenes in it that were just awful. Violent rape scenes, just terrible violence. And I always look back at something that Jonathan Doyle, he writes for Being Catholic, that's an e-journal for Catholic educators. And he really warns you about watching shows that have that kind of violence. It impacts you whether you realize it or not. He says, we are sensory beings. What we see and hear has an impact upon our spiritual nature. And no, it does not matter whether you think it does or not. It just does. For example, there's a reason we have art galleries and a reason we have the Sistine Chapel ceiling. Beauty is an essential aspect of what it means to be human, because beauty is one of the three transcendentals that constitute what is taking place in the heart of the Godhead. So when you turn around and you're looking at this horrible violence week after week, and you get so pulled into this story, and everybody talks about it. They're reenacting it in their workplaces, you know, and around the water cooler. I mean, you're buying into all this violence and this stuff that's going on there. I am not a fan of Game of Thrones at all. It's not a beautiful show. It isn't beautiful at all. And it's just, it's full of stuff that I don't think we need to expose ourselves to.
You know, there was a lot of research that was done on the difference between television and radio. And I found it to be absolutely fascinating and interesting. And it was, I think that it was done, you know, I can't remember exactly what the reason was that was listed as the cause for the research to be done. But they talked about how television is a passive activity. Radio is not a passive activity. You are listening. And so you're very engaged. Now, what's the difference? Well, the difference is with television, even though you're listening, the movement of the images on the screen puts you into a passive state. And when you're in a passive state, and yeah, I don't want to say trance-like, but almost trance-like. And when you are in that state, your psyche is open to a certain degree of receptivity, and what is being presented there has a greater impact on the subconscious than that which you hear. Because the engagement of the human person is different. And so when you talk about the fact that this gentleman wrote and said that, you know, there's an effect of this that you don't realize you're taking in, it makes sense in light of that research. And it's something very, very necessary. It might also have something to do with, the addiction to pornography. There's a passivity there. So something goes on in the subconscious that is going to be either very edifying or it's going to be very destructive. Now, in the case of EWTN television, very edifying, builds up the spirit, but in light of some of these other things that we're talking about, very destructive, because it tears the human person down in the sense of denigrating his reality, his most basic reality, that he's made in the image and likeness of God. So it introduces things into his subconscious that is anti that reality. You know, very important what you're sharing with us here. So, Mary, yes, of course, we do need to pray for people that find themselves in a state of semi-addiction to some of these programs and some of these shows. We've got Tony out there on Facebook. He said, in light of the 12 tribes of Israel, so what is the attraction for this cult? Why would people stay?
Well, you know, actually, that's a very good question, and it has to be answered on several different levels, because it's not just one thing. It starts out one way and it ends another. So it starts out by the 12 tribes offered this woman something that she happened to need at that time. So it started out for her as fulfillment. And this person will cling to that sense of fulfillment. You know, that they're getting this fulfillment from this group, and they're going to get involved, and it's going to turn their life around. They're going to get what they want, and they're going to cling to that even when they begin to suspect that something's going wrong, mm-hmm. and that they might have made a mistake, mm-hmm. and that they're not really going to get what they were in there for in the first place. And once they come to that realization and they do finally face that fact, now it changes to terror. How do I get out of this? I'm in here. Now what do I do? But by then, the mind control has fully set in, and that person will fight those feelings tooth and nail, but they'll have an underlying fear. And of course, they use fear to intimidate people to stay there. So it starts out as fulfillment, and it ends up as fear. Hmm. That's what keeps them there. They're too afraid to go. They don't know how to go.
Yeah,
they're just afraid.
Well, and there's a lot of, you know, the term that was used back in the day, maybe it's still used. There was a lot of love bombing that goes on with these cults where, you know, people swarm down on you and they're so nice and they're so loving and they build you up and you're so wonderful. And, you know, they really stroke your ego, so to speak. And that's the lure that begins to entice. Oh, you know, these are really nice people. These are really nice friends. And, you know, I want to know more about this. And you find yourself in exactly exactly what you just described. I mean, really, it's a chain of psychological bondage that people find themselves in. Let's go to Ann. She's with us out in Boardman, Ohio. Friends, you can join us too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way you can be with us. Ann is listening to us via Living Bread Radio. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much, Jeanette, and God bless you and your guest for this topic. My question today is, I have a friend of a friend who calls me because she's been in a cult in Colorado. It almost destroyed her marriage, but her husband really hung in there. He's a beautiful Catholic. My question is, they live in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, and he is attempting to bring her into counseling. And is there a counselor, and I'm asking your guest specifically, in that Knoxville, Tennessee area who would be able to help them as a married couple and bring her back into her own self-respect and ability to think for herself and try to repair their marriage?
Oh, absolutely, Anne. That can be done. Again, I highly recommend that you contact freedomofmind.com. Because they have access to information about that. You need to have a professional deal with these people who are involved in it, because they know how to extricate them. They know all about mind control, what the techniques are, and how to reverse those techniques. So I would definitely go there. He also has books, and I would recommend that anyone who's getting involved in this read one of his books. I have Combating Cult Mind Control, which is sort of like his main book. And that book tells you all kinds of stuff in there that helps you to understand the person who's in the cult. It tells you, gives you the steps to take to try to extricate them from the cult. And you will not be doing it. You will be working in conjunction with the therapist who's going to help them. But there are people out there who do this and can help them to find help in their area. And you can also just try your local, you know, psychologist or therapist associations in your area or in that area and ask them if there's anybody there who has an expertise in cults, C-U-L-T-S,
right,
if
that's
they have expertise in that.
Out.
Yes.
And what is the spelling on the author's name that wrote these books?
Hassan, H-A-S-S-A-N.
Also, I wanted to suggest to you, too, Anne, that our program is going to be available via podcast. So you might want to recommend to your friend that she tell her friend to download the EWTN app and go to Audio on Demand. And she'll be able to scroll down to our program and play this program so that she can hear what Sue has been sharing today. It might be good for her to hear it herself. I also want to mention this, that a lot of these people that come out of these situations, in addition to needing that original counseling that helps them to be freed from the mind control, the reality is there's a residual effect. And the residual effect, it takes the shape of post-traumatic stress disorder. And there are counselors counselors that are very skilled. As a matter of fact, they have a specialty in post-traumatic stress disorder. And so I would want to recommend that that be something that is thought about in light of what the need might be for this particular person.
Right, because each case is unique. And, Jeanette, for years, I have been aware of your specific ministry in the whole cult New Age situation. And I'm very struck this morning by what you said, that we all thought that this basically had, minimized itself and kind of gone away. And here we are. I was shocked to my core when I found out what was going on with the woman that I'm concerned about, because she joined and then she left. And then she was talking to them without her husband being aware of it. And then she went back to them. Mm. Can you imagine that? And she has adult children.
Yeah.
It's it's a tragic situation, plus the fact that she has always been fragile psychologically and has taken medication, so she's really a target.
It's very difficult to understand the mindset, but it just goes to show, Sue, that this grip on the psyche is a very real one. It's, in my estimation, it's demonic. And, you know, the tangled web it weaves is very, very hard to extract oneself from. The tentacles go on, and there are still those moments of self-doubt that I did the wrong thing. I should have stayed there. You know, what about my salvation? That's a whole big one that they lay on you. You know, what about my salvation? What about my relationship with God? You know, all of those things are used as tactics to keep the person engaged. And there's a passage in Scripture that says, you know, why would you return to Egypt? You know, we don't know. Why would you go back to that which has been so difficult? And yet this is one of the, you know, unknown realities of how the psyche works. So these people need a lot of prayer. I want to go to Yolanda next. She's with us in Miami, Florida. EWTN.com is the way she's with us. By the way, Ann, I want to thank you for being such a good friend of your friend and her friend. Beautiful for you to get that information out. So Yolanda, how are you today, dear one?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be able to share this information. Jeanette, good morning.
Good morning.
I was a Jehovah's Witness, my husband, my children, for over 25 years. I was raised Catholic. And yes, everything that the other lady is mentioning is so true. They come when you're vulnerable. I was just graduated from high school. I was about to get married. So yes, they get you in a transitional period of your life where you feel you don't know what's going to happen. And so there's a sense of stability. They do love on you. They make you feel like you're the best person. And the thing that got me was what they do is they block information. It was around the time the computer was coming out. And, oh, no, don't look up any information. And something in my heart told me something's wrong here. After all those years, and I started, my husband and I looked in the computer, and we realized that the founder, that's the one that got me out. He was where he's buried. His tombstone is like a pyramid. That freaked me out. I said, oh, my God, this has nothing to do with the Lord. But it took many, many, and yes, you do get brainwashed. I mean, I used to break out into a cold sweat. Literally, it takes, even physically, it affects you. I went back to the church. The book that the other lady mentioned, I'm sorry, I forget her name. We found that book about how to get out of the cults. And I said to my husband, I'm going back to my Catholic faith. And he said to me, what if that's wrong? I said, well, I'm going to die Catholic if God permits. And we went back and we got confirmed. I went to a church called Little Flower. I didn't even know what Little Flower was. I spoke to a little statue of a pretty little nun. I felt like a fool, but it's like Mother Angelica says, if you're willing to do the ridiculous, God will do the miraculous. And I prayed for my three kids who were left back there in that cult. And I said to her, please help. And that very day, my daughter called me. And my twin sister, she was the first one who got caught up with the witnesses. She's still there. She shuns me. So what they do is they divide and conquer. And there are a lot of good, decent people in these cults that are just, they don't know their faith. So that's why it's important for parents to know, to help their children to know what they're getting into. But I wanted to share that with you. Praise be God. I'm actually a Carmelite myself.
Beautiful.
So, yes, and my husband is Carmelite too. That's
Little Flower. Oh my gosh, that's so wonderful.
Little flower power.
That is so good. That is so good.
I hope and pray that somebody hears what I have to say, and to learn your faith. That's the thing. You need to know your faith, so they can't come and tell you. And that's the other one. They offer you a Bible study, but of course what you don't know is that's not even a Bible they're using. It's so changed.
Yes.
So they come as, you know, sweet people offering a sweet thing. And here you are in turmoil. And so you grab the, you know, you bite the hook because of lack of knowledge.
Well, you know, Yolanda, I'm thrilled to death that you found your way out. I think it's just an incredible gift from the Holy Spirit that you had the enlightenment to see that something was wrong, and you had the courage to begin to investigate it so that you could be at peace within yourself. And how beautiful that you returned to the faith. And I know Sue is absolutely giddy to know that you are a fellow Carmelite, and so am I. And, you know, I just wanted to comment on one thing. Well, I guess a couple of things that you had to say here. Number one, very important to know, and I want to underscore this, these cults do prey on people when they're in a position of transition. That's very key. This is why they're so big on college campuses. And also, I think, why they approach people at these vulnerable periods, if there's struggle in a marriage or a recent divorce, etc., and people are looking for a way to attain some kind of balance, interior, spiritual depth at those moments. So thank you for sharing that. The other thing, I remember years ago, I worked with a woman who was a witness. And whenever the subject of religion would come up and I would begin to express to her the truths of the faith, the Catholic faith, she would almost zone out on me. You could see her. You could see that she almost went into a place of non-hearing. She would look and smile, but she was not there. It was almost as if she bugged out, you know, so that she wouldn't hear what was being presented. And I'm quite certain that that's not uncommon. I think that there are techniques that are taught to individuals so that they can, in a certain way, go into a state of mind where they are no longer receptive to what's happening around them. And there is a lot of mind control that goes on there. So thank you for your testimony today. It's beautiful. And I am just absolutely appreciative of your witness today. Thanks for calling, Yolanda. Also, too, before you go, Yolanda, are you Hispanic?
Yes, I am.
Okay. There has been, I think, a big increase in the proselytization of Hispanics, especially as they come into this country. The witnesses go after them. And I am even aware of a witness temple in our area that has hung an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it distresses me to no end that they would use Our Lady as a lure like that. But, you know, so people within your own community need to be aware of these things. And I also know that it's very prevalent in the Philippines. So just some things to be aware of. And I thank you for your call, sweetheart. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
You're welcome. So let's go to Julie. She's calling us from Idaho Falls, Idaho. She is with us via Roku this morning. Good morning, Julie.
Hello.
Hi.
I am calling because I am fascinated by your show today. My area in Idaho, and a majority of Idaho, has a huge population of Mormons, and that is the largest cult probably in the world. And here in Idaho Falls, and I want to stress, I have very good friends here in Idaho Falls that are of the Mormon religion. So I'm not putting down those folks that are so kind to me, but my children went to public school here. And in the public school program here, they have a missionary center for the Mormon Church directly on the campus of every junior high and high school. So during the high school or junior high day, which is that, quote, transitional period during a child's life, they're kind of trying to find themselves, they're unsure of themselves, they have these missionary centers where one period out of the day, each and every Mormon child goes to those programs. So it's a class in their schedule. They come out of those, and then they know who is not an LDS person or a Mormon person in the school, and they target those children. So my children being Catholic, or their friends being, say, Lutheran or Presbyterian or whatever it may be, were targeted by those children and they use the methods that you're talking about to get them into their cult. If they couldn't use those methods, they would ostracize those children who are Christian and totally exclude them or bully them from their lives. So the children in junior high and high school who are not a part of that group feel totally alone. Hmm. And my friend, who is a very good Catholic, she said to me, Julie, my children have absolutely no friends. They're so alone. And at this period in their lives when they need friends, they're so alone. And that's what I know, my children too.
Well, we're going to have to leave, Julie. We're going to have to leave it there, dear. You hear our closing music coming up here. Sue, the last word quickly.
Absolutely, we must pray. Pray for everyone involved in these cults and everyone who is manipulating others through the use of cultish methods, that they might come to repentance and conversion.
Absolutely. Sue, thank you for an excellent program today. And friends, we do want to remind you that we have to be aware. And so that's why we do these shows. Join us right here on Women of Grace Live Monday through Saturday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Bye-bye now.